Now, on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have taken place in these days? He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'No, stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' The same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the others, their companions, and they gathered together, and they were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had made known to them himself in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So here we are. For us, it is the week after Easter. But in our scripture passage this morning, it is still that first Easter Sunday, which is okay because even in the church, in our liturgical calendars, we don't limit Easter to just one day out of the year. We have a whole Easter season, beginning with Easter Sunday, going all the way right up to Pentecost, which will be in June this year. Though also, if truth be told, every Sunday when we gather together to worship, every Sunday is in its own way a little Easter celebration, because it is the risen Lord that calls us together. But in our calendars, in our church calendars, this is the second Sunday of Easter for us. And for the gospel writer Luke, and that account he gives here in the scripture passage with Cleopas and that other disciple out there on the road, this is like part two of that first Easter Sunday. So if you remember, we noted last week that the first part, with the tomb being found empty and the angels proclaiming to those faithful women that Jesus, just like he said he would, he had risen. And they run to tell the other disciples, who weren't quite sure what to make of all of it. If you remember, all of that happened without Jesus actually being there, without Jesus actually showing up in the flesh. And that's where our passage picks up this morning. There are these two disciples walking from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. And again, it's that very first, very same Easter Sunday. These were two of them that were in that room just hours before, hours earlier, when the two Marys and Joanna and the others came running in telling them what they had heard and seen. These two disciples were there among those who didn't believe and thought it was all a little too crazy. And so maybe it was because of that that they decided to just get out for a little bit, go get some fresh air, get away from the craziness, a change of scenery perhaps to clear their minds, or maybe even they've said, they were thinking, you know, enough is enough. Whatever it was, they set out on that same day from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is about 7 or so miles away from where they were. And as they're walking, they're discussing and even debating and wrestling with what all of this could mean. But whatever it means, they can't seem to shake it. So they're wrestling with it and talking about it as they're walking. And maybe, because Jesus was a pretty unique rabbi, maybe. But then still, how could something like all of this be true? So they're debating and wrestling with this as they walk. And that's when they're joined on the road. A stranger shows up and joins them on their walk and asks them a simple question. Hey, what are y'all talking about? Now, nothing too out of the ordinary about this, not yet at least. Stranger joins them and says, what's going on? I hear you talking about something. What's your story, friends? So they tell him. And kudos for them for just laying it out there to this stranger. They tell him about this guy, Jesus, from Nazareth, and what he'd gone around doing and proclaiming for these past few years. And then they told him how Jesus had been handed over, betrayed even by one of his own, and was condemned and crucified. And then listen to what they say about him after they tell this story. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But we had hoped he would be the one to make things right again. We had hoped he would be the one to finally make a difference, maybe in this world of empires and oppressors and hunger and homesickness. We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. But then all this stuff happened over this past weekend, and then they told how after it all went down, some of the women from their group had gone to the tomb and come running back with the craziest story about angels and an empty tomb and this message that Jesus had risen from the dead. And, well, friend, so some of us went to go see, and yeah, the tomb was empty, but, well, sure, the tomb's empty, but we still haven't seen him, so who knows? And there it is. You asked us our story. That's our story. And that's when the stranger says, all right, great, let's have a Bible study. And so they do. The stranger who had invited them to tell him their story and had listened as they told him about all this stuff that has happened to them and that they've been a part of, and the story of all their hopes and fears and confusion, this stranger now says, now let's take your story. And he begins to put it in context of a much larger story. As he opens up the scriptures to them, this larger story of redemption and promise that is being told throughout the scriptures. And that, of course, that's what had to happen. That the Messiah, yes, should suffer these things and then, only then, enter into his glory. That's been the story of the scriptures since the beginning, he explains. Years ago, late 80s, if my memory is right, my grandmother, Nana, wrote down her life story and had several copies printed and bound as a book. A book she called simply, This Is My Story. And she gave a copy to each of her 4 kids as a surprise Christmas present that year. This book told her story from growing up in the early 1900s all the way up through the present. But in doing so, it also, of course, ended up encompassing the story of her kids, and therefore also her grandkids. When I got around to reading it, even as a middle school boy, I wasn't just reading about a woman who grew up in the Great Depression long before I was born and all those the life events she had, like something out of one of my school textbooks or something like that. No, whether I really knew it at the time, what I was reading was a story. Yes, a story about Nana, but because it was her story, and she was my grandmother, it was also a story about where I came from. And therefore, it was a story that helped me see a little better who I really am, because it put my own story into this larger context as part of a larger family's unfolding story. Though these wandering disciples don't yet see that this is Jesus here with them, he is showing them the bigger, wider story of what God is and has been up to. That the story of their lives, even that story that they shared with him on the road, the story that the stranger had invited them to share with him, it was not just one or two short stories among many in the random anthology of history, but it was, in fact, a chapter in the great romantic epic that God has been telling since the very beginning. Beauty out of chaos, light out of darkness, a people and a nation from a wandering sojourner and alien, from the despair and bondage of Egypt to freedom in the land of promise. From a faithless people to prophets calling for a new heart and a new hope. From the tragedy of exile to calling out from there a renewed people. From defeat and shame and death comes not just a second chance, but the glory and victory of a resurrected life. They are invited to share their stories. And in turn, this stranger begins to show them, whether they really see it at the time or not, but still he begins to show them how through the Messiah, it is God's story, it turns out, that is really being shared with them. So this stranger has given them some stuff to chew on now about these events that had happened and their place in it. And they've learned a few things. It's been a good Bible study, thank you very much, but now they've arrived at the village. Their destination. And this is where I love Jesus in this scene. Because Jesus gets a little, I don't know, he gets kind of playful, doesn't he? He pretends to keep going on after they've stopped. He walked ahead, it says, as if he were going on. Right? Like he's kind of wandering, kind of tiptoeing away with looking back over his shoulders to wondering and waiting to see what are they going to do with him? Jesus, the stranger. It's like he's creating space for them. He's inviting them to invite him in and to stay as their guest. It's fascinating, isn't it? That on this day, this very day of the resurrection, Jesus, when he does show up, he doesn't show up and say, boom, here I am. No, he just kind of joins them quietly on their journey, offers them a bit of hope. And then waits to see if they, not even knowing who he really is, if they're going to invite him to stay. And the good thing is, they do. And I love this, that it's only then, as they invite him to come and share a meal with them, that suddenly everything gets turned around. That it's not in a big, loud production, but rather in the intimacy of a shared meal. Of an invitation to gather around something as simple and normal as a table. That's the place where they who thought they were the hosts to this stranger guest, suddenly he takes the bread and he blesses it and he breaks it and he gives it to them. And now those who thought that they were the hosts, they realize that they are actually the ones who are the guests. And the one they thought was their guest, it turns out he is their host. And only then are their eyes finally opened and they recognize Jesus right there in their midst. And finally, all that had happened and all that Jesus had told them, They had just been to a Bible study given by none other than Jesus himself. But even then, it wasn't until this intimate moment of hospitality, of invitation, and something like sitting down together for a shared meal, that their eyes are opened and they are able to understand and see. And that looking back on their journey, it all starts to make sense. For all the big and wonderful to-do of days and good celebrations like Easter Sunday, like last week, we are reminded here on the second Sunday of Easter that even when the candy is eaten, which by the way, there's still candy in the kitchen from the Easter egg hunt, so feel free to grab some. But even when that disappears, and the Easter baskets are put back in the closets, the flowers become a little droopy, it is often in those quieter moments that God is at work, and that God reveals himself. That we are continually being invited to live and walk in the reality of the resurrection and to find all our stories, our individual stories, our collective stories, all our stories in the context of that larger story that God has been writing and telling since the beginning. And just like these two walking and wandering on their road and their journey to Emmaus, it may not be until those moments of opportunity opened up for us to offer an invitation, welcoming and inviting the stranger among us. Just like we saw last week with those faithful women just showing up to follow those dictates of love, that it was only then that they met with the very angel proclaimed good news to go and share that Jesus is risen. Now, here on this same day, just a little bit later, you can't help but wonder, what would have happened had these two not invited this stranger to stay with them, but just let him continue on his way? Because here's the thing. We are a people of the resurrection. And one of the things that means, and it means many things, probably much more than we even know, but one of the things that means is that you never know who might show up. You never know in whose company we may find ourselves. You never know what moments we may find Jesus at work, revealing himself right here in our midst. Jesus, in fact, said something about that, didn't he? A couple times, actually. About the connection between loving God and loving our neighbor, whether friend, enemy, or stranger, or about what's going on when we offer or don't offer invitation, hospitality, and care, right? Whatever you have done to the least of these, he says. Could it be that those times, those opportunities that we have to do just that, they are actually an invitation by Jesus for us to get a greater understanding of how the good news of Jesus, the gospel, is at work in the world and in us? And even could it be that those are the very times when it's Jesus who's actually the one welcoming us, inviting us to meet him more intimately? Easter has come. Family, Easter has come. The tomb is empty. Hallelujah, Jesus is risen. So where might he be showing up in your life and in your journey? Where are those spaces, those places in your life for you, for us, to invite him in? Because those are the places where it turns out he's been the one inviting you and inviting me and inviting us in all along. Where might he be inviting you to share your story and to see how he is inviting you into his? And where, family, where might Jesus be inviting you? Where might he be inviting us to invite and welcome? Where might he be offering us, inviting us into those spaces where our eyes can be open to the reality of Jesus at work in our midst? To the reality that sometimes Jesus is just there waiting and watching to see what we're going to do with it all. And the grace of God is such that we don't have to have it all figured out. We simply have to respond to this invitation. Perhaps an invitation to offer invitation. And in so doing, discover more and more that Jesus, it turns out, is not so much our guest as he is our host. The life of following the risen Lord, the life of being a resurrection people, is far less like an exam and much, much more like receiving an invitation to dinner or to a feast. Or even, it said, and said by no less than Jesus himself, much more like an invitation to a party. Family, Jesus is risen. We are a resurrection people, so may our eyes be open. May we have eyes to see Jesus in our midst, not just in the big and bold celebrations, but also in those quieter spaces as well, around tables, or in homes and neighborhoods, or just along our roads and journeys of life. And may we be mindful of the strangers among us, because Jesus is risen, so you never know where he might show up. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Lord, that in your word, you show us that you show up not just in the big celebrations, you show up in the quieter moments, even the moments of wondering and wandering, moments of questions, moments when it seems hope is just a memory. But you show up. Lord, give us eyes to see those places and those spaces where you are inviting us to invite you in, that we may see who you are more clearly, that we may see that our stories are a part of your larger story. You have called us into your larger story, a story of resurrection and a resurrection people. For we are a people who follow you, the risen Lord. Lord, give us eyes to see and hearts to respond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.